Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Talking about the team and all that, just summing up some stuff, completely addressed how great the Lions culture is. But the whole, you know, the guys come in and they know they need to fall in line, which is the things that we were jealous of in Pittsburgh and Seattle and Baltimore and New England, where it just felt like those teams were always good. And they would get players cast off from other teams who would make plays for them. And now that's what's going on in Detroit. There's so much that's remarkable about this. And to go 15-2, man. Undefeated in the best division. And I can't find confirmation of this. I heard Mark Ryan say it last night in the postgame show. That it's the best division record-wise in the history of football.
Oh, it has to
be. And they went 15-2 and undefeated in the division.
Yeah, it's... When you've got a 15-2 team, a 14-3 team, and with the Packers win 11 games this year, it's 11-6. It's I get there's got the extra game, but okay, fine. Just go by week. If you go by week after 16 games, it was 14-14 yeah, and 11.
Yeah, because last week it was all division games, so the only thing it was an NFC North team would beat an NFC North team in two games, so it didn't.
Yeah,
change anything. If it's win percentage, though, that's incredibly impressive. They went 15-2 and undefeated in what could be the toughest division in the history of football.
Here's what we all have to accept as Lions fans about this team. We're going to have to accept this. Okay? They're good. Mm-hmm. They're really good. They're great. This team is the epitome of a team. They go out there and they just get it done. And last night, I swear, this team knew exactly what was being said about them. All the doubters out there saying that this team cannot win with this defense that's out there. Makeshift, hey, you guys have gotten along for so long, but there's no way it's going to happen. It's not a Super Bowl caliber defense. And Anzalone called BS on that last week. And I know that got a lot of play around here. And, you know, they're really good. Because when they can go out there and step in and understand that, hey, it's still next man up mentality, which is what they've had to deal with for a couple of years with all the injuries. It's just same old, same old. Get your lunch pail, go to work, and get it done. And what they did to the Vikings last night, that sent word all around the NFL. You cannot underestimate the will of a team when they are that together. Because that's what this team is. Aaron Glenn has done absolute wonders with that defense to scheme it up, to put them in positions to make plays and win. And that's what they did. When you hold the Vikings to 3 field goals in a game, when you get how many stops on fourth down and just get them to turn it over on downs, it was absolutely incredible. And as it's going on, you're like, well, they're playing with fire. How long can this last? Hey, it's only... You know, they got a 7-6 lead. And then the ball gets kicked out of bounds on the kickoff with 20 seconds left. And they get the ball at the 40-yard line with 20 seconds in the timeout. And I think that's when Lion fans collectively raised an eyebrow and went, Oh, wait a minute. Might actually get 3 points out of this. This is
that was the first time the Lions offense looked like the Lions offense. Like and from there on out,
and it was
field goal.
Game on.
Weird interception. Something weird happened on that bomb to J-Mo. But then it was touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
Well, they responded to another injury. They were up 10 to 6. Terry Arnold gets hurt, leaves the game. Vikings come down and get the field goal, make it 10-9. I asked Dan Campbell about this afterwards last night and didn't really get an answer I was expecting. But I'll repeat what I said, which was the team responded on offense. It's like, what was said on the sideline? Did the offense say something to each other like, hey, we got this. We got you guys. Okay. We know that Terrion's hurt. It's another guy hurt on defense. We got you. And they go out and they score 3 straight touchdowns to put the distance out 31-9. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the defense said, hey, hold on. We got this. You know, we understand when one of our guys went down with an injury, it's okay. We'll cover for him. We got this. And they shut out the Vikings after that point as well, after Terrion Arnold went out. Raise your hand if you didn't expect just a savage display of throwing the ball deep wherever you wanted to go last night on the Vikings' behalf because they were without their starting 2 corners. Everybody thought that was going to happen, and it didn't happen. Sam Darnold looked like Sam Darnold with the Jets. Sam Darnold looked like that scared guy who was seeing ghosts. That was Sam Darnold yesterday. They rattled him. They forced him out of his routines, got him to run out of the pocket, constantly spinning around and eluding the pass rush, and then the pass rush would finally come home, and he had nowhere to go, didn't know what to do. He had guys wide open that he just didn't see because he was spooked. They made him look ridiculous. That team is an awesome team.
Well,
full stop. Full stop. I don't want any caveats about the defense, who's in, who's out. I don't care because it's the team that gets it done. It's amazing what they've done.
We'll get to your phone calls coming up. Champ and Chump Vaults will have ours today at 10:35. Man, Lions, division champs, 15-2. Most importantly, a bye. Mm. The number one seed in the NFC, the road to the Super Bowl, goes through Ford Field. It is Carson Anderson on a glorious regular season ending victory Monday, 97-1 the ticket.
Look, I want to talk about reliable service, like reliable, like the Lions defense. You betcha. Anytime you find out about it, you want to let people know about it. So I'm here to tell you about Precision Garage Door. These guys are amazing. Look, you need to get your garage door serviced. It's making some weird noises. It's cold outside. You're worried that maybe some parts are getting brittle or they're breaking. Give them a call. They'll come out. They'll check things out for you. They'll diagnose any issues you have, and they'll let you know exactly what has to be done. They're going to shoot you straight. They're awesome. And at Precision Garage Door Service, they take your call 24/7. They can schedule a repair appointment quickly, even for the same day. That's awesome. They've helped me out a couple of times. I love what they do. Give them a call, and they will do it for you as well. 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR is the number, or visit them online at precisiondoormi.com and schedule that appointment.
Taylor Decker, and it was great to hear all the offensive guys in the post game talking about the defense that shut down one of the best offenses in football, the defense that did it with, I mean, you wanted to give Aaron Glenn credit, but it's kind of easy when you have players like Mitchell Agudé. I mean, honestly, they step in
and do what they have to do.
Elquadine Muhammad with a huge sack, because of course Elquadine Muhammad had a huge sack. In the beginning of the season, when you laid out QB or CB1, CB2, CB, what number followed Amik Robertson's name? Where was he on the cornerback depth chart? Like he stepped up and was huge. And we talked about it on Friday. He and Justin Jefferson go all the way back to the Thibodeau versus Destrehan high school games in South Louisiana when those two played against each other in high school. Crazy.
My man came out to the podium yesterday after the game.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is awesome.
Yeah, he is.
He's got an awesome beard, first of all. Had this awesome shirt with 21 on it, and then had this awesome
sweater
gold chain. Yeah, they had that and a gold chain that had 21 on it as well, wearing sunglasses. And he was there for the spotlight because he deserved it. And he knew all week that he was going to have to line up across from Justin Jefferson, and he relished that moment, and he rose to the occasion. You know, because in the end, what did Justin Jefferson do? Caught three passes.
Yep.
For 54 yards.
Yep.
That was it. 3 out of 9 targets. So, Amik Robertson, well done.
Well done. Well done. But the pass defense in general, the pass rush, and watching Goff go through his progressions, like the one fourth down play where he had Jamo over the middle for like 10 yards on 4th and 2.
It was like 4th and 6.
Whatever it was. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was his fourth option. He looked right, then looked righter, then looked all the way back to the left, and then back to the middle. Sam Darnold couldn't work his way through progressions because the Lions' pass rush was in his face.
When Goff hit Jam, I think it's the same play we're talking about. There was a 4th and 6 play, and I noted that it was like a blitz buster play because they were coming at him, and he's like, okay, I'm gonna have to wait because they're gonna hit, and he knew he was gonna get drilled. And he got drilled and hit him in stride. Maybe it's a different play.
Actually, I just looked back, and it was a 3rd and 1 play where he found.
This 4th down play was incredible because he waited to the last second and then delivered a strike to Jamo. He gets drilled. Jamo takes it upfield for a nice gain. And it's just one of many plays that you can go back and cite and say, there it was. You talk about Muhammad Sack. Mm-hmm. I think the crowd noise on that sack and people that were there, you can back me up on this or you can say, I don't think so. I think the noise level after that sack was every bit as loud as the Bears game was from a dozen years ago that we always reference.
Yeah.
It was so stinking loud. It was amazing.
You know what last night was? It was the difference between playing in big games and not playing in big games before. I think Sam Darnold, I know, Gator, you weren't a huge believer in him, you know, like, hey, eventually midnight's going to strike and you're going to turn back into, you know, it's over. The glass slipper doesn't fit, right?
Correct.
That's what happened last night with Sam Darnold. This was the biggest professional game he's ever played in, and it showed. Last night, that was not the biggest professional game Jared Goff has ever played, and he's played in plenty of big games.
Super Bowl.
So when he's able to go through his progressions, I've done this before. Give me more. I can handle it all. And Sam Darnold's like, give me less. I can't handle this. I don't even know where my guys are supposed to be.
Well, how about and not getting rattled?
Well, yeah, Goff, that's all part of it.
Yeah, well, because Goff had reasons to get rattled. Throws a pass, gets tipped, gets picked off, right? And leads to 3 points. 4th down plates, 4th and inches. They chose not to just like sneak it and get the 6 inches they needed. They're like, we're going to run a play out of shotgun. And Goff throws it, gets tipped incomplete. And what would, by the way, it would have been like a 25-yard gain had the ball not been tipped, but it was tipped. Easy ways to get rattled or frustrated. He's not. He just goes back into his bag of tricks and says, all right, I'll keep going. And then they go out and have 3 straight touchdown drives. It was incredible. Because and I go back, I think having that experience of going through that Houston game where you throw 5 interceptions and just say, it's okay, I'm going to figure this out. And that's what happened. The offense figured it out. The defense said, we got your back. Just stay in this game. We know you guys are going to turn it around. And they did.
Well, Goff is battle tested. He says it all the time. This team is built for this.
Yep.
And Goff's been to a Super Bowl. He's played huge games. He's won playoff games. You mentioned the Texans games this year. He's been through it all. Sam Darnold has not. And that was the intriguing question last night. He had a chance to answer that. And it was his first big game. And they'll play next week against the Rams. But he hasn't been there before and done it. Like
18 out of 41 in the game for Sam Darnold. He was 9 for 20 in the first half. He was 9 for 21 in the second half. He was a non-factor in the game. He missed guys who were wide open. He just could not live up to the moment.
248-539-9797. Let's talk to the people. We go to D in Detroit. You're on 97.1 A Ticket. Hello, D.
Gator, DK, Kane, what's up?
Come on, D. Hey, D. Bring it.
Bro, I came in to work, fellas. I expected more excitement from my place of employment, but some of these people are sleeping, bro. 15-2, 8-0 on the road, 6-0 in division. If Coach Dan don't win Coach of the Year award this year, bro, it's going to be trouble, bro. It's going to be trouble. big win, fellas. And I just want to say one more thing. I try to tell everybody, Minnesota is a fraud. Everybody, oh, no, look at that record. Bro, that record don't mean nothing. All them wins they got against some teams because they turned the ball over and other teams didn't capitalize or the other teams didn't just, you know, do what they had to do. We showed the NFL last night. Minnesota is not a big boy team like we are, bro. And like you said, DK, say it again for me, baby. The road to New Orleans comes through the D. How good does that sound? Man, I'm
fantastic.
So damn hyped. I'm so hyped. I hope they send me home, bro, because I'm going nuts in this place.
Well, maybe everybody at work is sleepy because they stayed up late watching a game and then they couldn't go to sleep afterwards.
Negative, D. Negative, bro. We showing excitement, like you said, because we have never seen or felt nothing like this before. And who knows if we're going to ever feel it again. So we got to take advantage of this, bro. And like I said, bro, so proud of that team. And you fans that was at the game, bro, every time I look at y'all on the big screen, y'all are so damn loud. Y'all are so much enthusiastic. I love you fans, bro. Y'all are the 12th man on this team. Love the show, bro. And let's go, DK. Whoa!
Way to bring it, D. 248-539-9797. John is in Livonia and next. Hi, John.
Carson Anderson, how we doing?
Doing great.
Doing well.
Hey, well, I was so impressed yesterday. I know Gibbs had 4 touchdowns and everyone had a great game. Can we talk about Amik Robertson locking up the best wide receiver in the league like it's nothing? Like, for him to do that was so out of the ordinary for me, honestly. They started him at slot corner, and he moved out to the outside, and he does that. It's like, who would have thought that, you know?
It's funny because we got into that matchup a little bit last week because we'd read the background and how those two had gone back to high school and how Amik, you know, has been always battling with Justin Jefferson. And obviously Jefferson's gone on and proven himself. And I disagree with D a little bit about how the Vikings don't belong with the big boys. The Vikings are a big boy in the NFL. The Lions are just bigger. And
they won 14 games.
And yeah, so and Justin Jefferson's elite. Sam Darnold had a great year. Their coach is great. Their defensive coordinator is great. Their defensive front seven is awfully impressive. It was just it's hard to win at Ford Field, and it's hard to they kept the Lions down for a half, which gave me a really weird feeling, and I want to see if Gator you had the same feeling, but they kept the Lions down for a half for almost an entire half. Really, it was 7-6 before those last two plays that might have changed the whole momentum of the game. To be honest with you. But it was incredibly impressive, and Amik Robertson was a huge part of it, John. Huge.
He was. Now, I have a question. Do you guys think that the Vikings will beat the Rams next week, and do you think we'll see them again? Because I know Coach Campbell at the end of the game said, we'll see you in 2 weeks to their coach. So what do you guys think?
I don't know what to think because the Vikings' performance yesterday offensively was such a, Jekyll and Hyde from what we've seen during the course of the year. Is this the point where, you know, is Sam Darnold actually is he snapping into being the Sam Darnold we saw with the Jets, or can he snap out of what happened last night and go out there and lift his team to victory? I don't know what to expect out of him. I do know this. The Rams are going to come for him. They got a pass rush. And if that's what got him rattled last night, the constant blitzing coming from the Lions and pressure from all sides, the Rams will get home.
I think there's a good chance that, the Vikings beat the Rams, but the Lions see the Commanders instead.
No, because of the lesser – who are the Commanders playing?
They play Tampa in the 3-6 game. And I that's one that – keep your eye on it. That's my early read, but still a lot of week left to go. But if any lower seed wins lower than the Vikings, which would be Washington or Green Bay – I don't know that Green Bay is going to Philly and winning, but I think that Commanders team in Tampa is a very interesting game. Very interesting.
Yeah, they're all interesting games. I mean, last year we didn't think that Green Bay was going to go into Dallas and do what they did to Dallas. So who knows what happens? It's just fun to be able to sit back and watch it unfold for a week without, you know, having any kind of flip-flops in your stomach because the Lions aren't playing this week.
And
they got a bye.
Health up. Please, goodness. We will get to more of your phone calls and feedback and have our champ and chump nominations today at 10:35 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Alex Anzalone after the game. Oh, wow, the Lions were so, so impressive defensively for the entire game. And there's a lot of, you know, minutia. And we talked at great length leading up to the game because it was a huge game, probably the biggest regular season game in Detroit Lions history. And Gator, we talked about the stuff on the margins. Like, we got broke down the officials and that crew threw more flags for pass interference than any other crew in the NFL. And there was only the one pass interference call, I believe, which is pretty impressive for a beat up Lions secondary against that group of receivers.
And they call the offensive pass interference against the Lions.
Yes, they did. But anyway, the point being, you know, there's a lot on the margins that led to that victory. But late in the first half, and there's a lot to unpack here. I had a weird feeling. The way that game was going, when it was 7-6, for that brief moment in time, I was like, what are we watching? Like, the defense has been very good, and I love it. The last thing we expected was a 7-6 game. This game is so big and so incongruent with all the evidence of what these two teams are leading up to this moment. I started to get that 2009 Stanley Cup Finals feeling, Game 7, where I'm like, this game doesn't follow any script we've seen this year. And I was getting worried. And the Lions, it was short-lived because the Lions got the football and went two plays into field goal range and kicked a field goal. And I go, okay, that's resembling the Lions' offense. That was bang, bang. You know, Goff hits the back step of his drop and delivers on time. It was a weird, and I, you know, I'm not trying to bring up something negative. It was just amazing how quickly they turned it around right then and there. I mean, that kick going out of bounds was big. Minnesota called their timeout right before they were forced to kick the field goal. And they might regret calling it as early as they did, but they were still trying to score 7 at the time. So they were trying to leave themselves time, but not leave Detroit any time. They ended up leaving Detroit too much time, and they got some points, and it went from there. But the way that game was played, with the defense really carrying the day and being so good, and the offense, at that point, only the one scoring drive, I was like, boy, this is really different than we expected.
It was. They weren't running the ball all that well in the first half. They struggled. You know, they had the interception, and it was a stagnant offense, really. And then they just picked it up in the second half. Like I said, it was the point where Terry Arnold gets hurt. Vikings kick a field goal to come within 1. Now it's 10-9, and then the Lions offense just said, all right, enough of this. Let's start playing. And
well, they figured it out, right?
Well, they also started, they threw the ball, and they gave Goff time to throw. And I mean, he hits LaPorta for 18 yards. Then the next play, it goes right to St. Brown for 14, gets Jamison Williams for 6 yards. You know, the 4th and 1, they throw the touchdown pass to Gibbs, and all of a sudden it's 17-9, and you feel like, wow. Well, they answered that, but what about the Vikings, right? Because Arnold's out, so now here come the Vikings. Not so much, you know. They just took care of business, and the Vikings missed the 52-yard field goal, and the Lions say, okay, thank you, drive down the field, touchdown.
248-539-9797. Jason, you're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great. I loved the game. I'm 52 years old. I never thought I would see this. I just had a question, though, for you. And here's my thought. I wasn't at the game, but I watched it on TV, and it seemed like the refs allowed the Lions to pretty much, I don't want to say hold, but to go longer and hold the other offensive players on the Vikings a lot longer than they should have. Now, I'm not taking away from the defense or anything. I just think that the refs, the little bit that I saw, let the D-backs really, really hold on longer than they should have.
Well, they got flagged.
The where they should have. I don't know what you guys thought.
But. Yeah, I was there. I didn't think that was the case. They got flagged several times for defensive holding or illegal contact downfield. And, you know, when you look back and watch them, they were legitimate calls. They got flagged for what they should have gotten flagged for.
And keep this in mind. First of all, that crew was pretty quick triggered on DPIs all season long. Now, they did call holding a bunch, but you play the game the way it's being called. Some nights you can get away with more than others, and you just play the game the way it's being called. You read the way the refs are gonna call it. Is it going to be a quick whistle, a quick flag, or are they going to let you get away with a little bit more? So whatever you observed, if it was consistent, it was consistent, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, that I agree, and that's good. I didn't mean to take away from anything that they did because it was just a great game. I just wondered that because I saw it a few times, and I saw some great plays, too, from the defensive back, but that was what I was wondering. But either way, they played a heck of a game, and I never thought I would see this time, and I just hope that they go the whole way. And anyway, I hope you guys have a great day.
Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call. Let's get to our Champ and Chump nominations. I will start my Champ of the weekend. Is Sheila Fordham. I love watching that press conference where she stood by Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes and reliving that moment where, you know, she said, we think we have the right people in place. So, no, we're not making a change. We're going to stick with them. And this was midway through, what was the 1-7, 1-8 start, where but right before they turned it around and have been on fire ever since. I credit her. You know, everything starts at the top. We heard it for years, and it started at the top, and it trickled down negative. And if it's still true that it starts at the top, it trickles down positive. And this is, like I said, it's still hard to get used to. And I continue to marvel at the stuff that we see and how it is some sort of bizarro world mixel-plick opposite of what we thought it was going to be.
Nice reference there.
Thank you. There's like seven people there.
I love what Sheila has done with this team and just assembling the brain trust to make this all happen. And it's been fantastic. I'm going to give the champ award week to Aaron Glenn. What the defense did last night was special against one of the really good offenses in the National Football League. They held them to 262 yards. They held them to only 4.2 yards per play. They shut them down on third down, 3 of 13 for the conversions for the Vikings. They shut them down on fourth down, 0 for 3. And those are goal-to-go situations. That defense, Doug, they bowed their neck.
Yes, they did.
They knew what they had to do, and they got it done with guys like Morris Norris added to the roster. Stanley Thomas Oliver III was added to the roster.
It's a real person.
These were names who were brought up from the practice squad and hired off the streets, basically, that were given a chance to play with the big boys last night. Everyone seemed to make a contribution, and it was amazing. And you know, the glory, I think, goes to the defensive coordinator for figuring out a plan that was going to work.
My jump of the weekend is Tyreek Hill, who demanded a new contract at Kansas City. He was winning there, got his new contract in Miami, and there's nothing wrong with that. But yesterday he quit on his team and came out afterwards and said, I'm out, because he just doesn't want to be out there running around. You were with a winner. You were with a winner in what has been the best franchise of the last 7-8 years in the NFL, and you made it. You forced your way out. You don't get to complain, in my opinion, if you end up on a team that's not winning. You got your money, and there's nothing wrong with that. But now you quit on your team and said you're out. Could have stayed in KC.
Well, my chump is going to be the New York Giants. I'm not sure what they're thinking of, but the last 3 years, they went from 9-7. They won 6 games last year, and this year they've got 4 wins, I believe. Three wins, in fact. So from 9-6-3. And they decided that we're going to keep the GM and the coach. Good call.
Champ and Chump votes coming in. Mark in Grand Rapids. Champ Jared Goff. He had a struggle bus first half, kicked ass in the second. Chump Vikings fans for selling the tickets the Vikings organization bought for them, for selling their tickets to Lions fans. Next one from Steve in a plow truck. Champ Alex Anzalone. Chump Patriots for losing a number one pick. From Jamie in Ann Arbor, Champ Amik Robertson. He represents the city of Detroit so well. Doubted, undersized, undervalued, but he backs down from nothing. Chump Vikings ownership for spending $2 million on tickets. Frank in Royal Oak, Champ Aaron Glenn, Chump Vikings Nation. Unnamed texter, Champ Cade Cunningham. Kids having an all-NBA type year. Chump New England firing Mayo after one season is crazy. Get your Champ and Chump votes in.
You know what's crazy? The reports that they're very interested in Matt Patricia.
Who?
The Patriots.
To do what?
Yep. Be the head coach.
Of what? Their football team?
Their professional football.
Are you sure it's not fake Pierre LeBrun, dude, Gator? Yeah, come on, dude.
I saw something over the weekend.
Oh, you saw something.
It wasn't a fake Pierre LeBrun, huh? I will research
yeah,
and find
please
it.
Please do. Yes.
Because if it is, whoever's... Well, whatever. 248-539-9797. Ken, you're next on 97. What a ticket. Hi, Ken.
How you doing? Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up?
I listen to you guys as much as I can at work. I'm 47 years old. I live and born, still live here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right in the middle of Packer country. I've been a Lions fan since a kid. First Lions game I went to was at the old County Stadium against the Packers. Wow. Been up to Ford Field, been to the Silverdome many years. Love it. All the great players that we've had over the years trickled in. We always had, you know, we had Barry, then we had Kelvin, we had one, two. We didn't have like a big collection. The thing I'm like, the best part of this team to me is the coaching staff and what they give the belief in the players. Because the defensive injuries we have right now, there's so many teams across the league over the years, they would have just, oh, that's our excuse. Oh, yeah, blah, blah, shut it down. We were out there mashed up against one of the better offenses in the league, hands down. And we just went out there and played and competed and competed. You know, we got a couple bad holding calls that they were the right call, but we just came back and kept playing. It's like you see these great players that don't hit their potential, and a lot of times it's because of the belief. They just don't have that belief and confidence from their coaches. What Aaron Glenn's doing with the players that he has available, to me, is just one of the best coaching jobs I've ever seen at any level in any sport. And that's not just because I'm a Lions fan. I love all sports. I watch all teams. I respect everyone. But what he's doing with what he had over and over and over last year and this year, to me, is just absolutely incredible.
You're right. You're 100% right. And you mentioned it doesn't matter who they have. I remember early in the Dan Campbell era, the Lions got screwed in a game, just some BS call, and Campbell wouldn't have it. He wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't mention it. And it's I thought about it. I'm like, this is interesting because they clearly got robbed, right? And the way he discussed it made me think he's trying to let his team know, I don't want them to ever think it was good enough. We just got it taken from us. So they rest on their laurels. And it really set the tone. Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, but probably more Dan Campbell and his staff, have completely changed this culture. Changed the culture.
If you watch Campbell on the sideline, when we get the short end of a call, when he talks to that ref that comes, you know, because the ref always comes to the sideline and explains it, the sideline ref, you watch Campbell. And even when you know and the media knows and the guys calling the game know that we got the short end of the stick on the call, you watch Campbell. He listens to the explanation, gives them that, I don't know, and then pats him and kind of walks away. He doesn't just, oh, now I have something to hang our loss on in case we lose at the end. He just goes and he gets these guys to grind it out. It's like when people talk about culture, so many people say, oh, it's overrated. Oh, give me this guy and that guy, the superstar. Look how many superstars aren't in the playoffs right now. Wow. Look how many superstars would love to be on this team right now. Like we used to be that team, oh, I don't want to go to Detroit. Now you hear these guys, they want to come play, and it's because of coaching. Wow. Because
I think they specifically target players, right? They specifically go after players that will fit their culture, which is something to keep in mind if a trade deadline ever comes and they pass on what looks like a perfect fit on the football field.
Always.
Yep. It's a big part. A big part of what they do is identify people that are going to fall in line. Even in football skills wise, there's some people that they've passed on and we've been, why? And this might be why.
Well, I'm sure they're glad that they went out and got Za'Darius Smith because he's made a difference.
Thank you for showing up yesterday. He was very, very good in a game where he needed to be. He was in. I thought he had two sacks. He was only credited.
Just had the credit for the one, yeah.
Hey, football fans, buckle up because for the first time ever, we've got 5 straight days of playoff football in college and the pros. And FanDuel is celebrating with the great playoff payoff. That's a no-sweat, same-game parlay every day for all 5 days. With a no-sweat, same-game parlay, you can combine your bets from the same game for a chance at bigger winnings. And if it doesn't hit, you get bonus bets back. So not only you get to watch 5 straight days of playoff football, but that's also 5 chances to win big with the safety net. Just visit FanDuel.com/Doug to be part of this epic run. That's FanDuel.com/Doug. The great playoff payoff, and it's only on FanDuel, America's #1 sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Make sure you do that. Minimum 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Maximum refund is $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's our quarterback, Jared Goff, who had some huge throws on money downs, small window stuff. He was executing at such an impressive level. Fun to watch. And speaking of quarterbacks, I want to give you credit because I was on vacation, and I know you have always kind of looked a little side-eyed at Darnold. And so I'm on vacation. I see a tweet, a couple of tweets, people saying Gator not giving Sam Darnold credit. And it was him doubting Sam Darnold was foolish. And as it turns out, you were right. And I wanted to point that out because you've always said, look, he's having a good year. At the beginning of the year, in fact, you were kind of like, hey, I'm kind of impressed with Darnold. And then you kind of reverted back to the, I'm just not sure. And I want to give you credit for your take on that.
Well, fair enough. And thank you. I'm not bought into it. I bought into this. He had a great year, a great regular season. There's no question about it. And he just made himself a bunch of money in the offseason. Someone's going to give him a contract, and someone's going to be upset with that contract in a couple years. But he threw for 4,300 yards and 35 touchdowns. That's a hell of a season.
It is.
You know? Scott Mitchell threw for 4,300 yards and 32 touchdowns 1 year, too. Mm-hmm. It can happen. When you're in the right system, you got the right players around you, you can do things like that. And they've got great offensive weapons to work with. But, I mean, if I'm the Vikings, I've got to be going, is this the guy? Well, we'll see. Hey, he can still write his history there. His legacy isn't cemented yet because they've got a playoff game. That's big. Field goals. You've talked about the Lions being able to hold teams to field goal attempts instead of getting touchdowns when it comes to the red zone. It happened again.
Yep. Look, there was four field goal attempts in that game, and every time I celebrated them. And it was something that we talked about on Friday. That's the formula. The best version of this defense right now probably is okay, you might move the football, but they have to be great in the red zone. And they were elite in the red zone.
You know what I love about, like, everyone, you know, knows about.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
How much Dan Campbell likes to go for it on fourth down, how aggressive he is, right? The Vikings are not that aggressive, you know, at least this year. And they went for it on fourth down. Like, I think the Lions are forcing other teams into a personality. Yep. They don't, that's not them. That's not who they are.
Pace.
Yeah, and so they do things that they're not used to. And Optostats just put this out here. The Vikings last night, no other team in the NFL has done this in the last 30 years, all in the same game. Four times they reached the red zone, did not score a TD. Three times having a goal-to-goal, did not score a TD. Two failed fourth and goal attempts, one missed field goal. The Lions defense forced all this. And this has never happened in 30 years.
Hmm. Well, I mean, did you see Darnold's numbers in the red zone?
I just saw his numbers were the game. Were good. So, I mean, you're not going to surprise me. He could not complete a pass.
I don't even think he completed a pass in, like, goal-to-go situations. I get one Aaron Jones I remember that he didn't get in, of course.
He got flushed out of the pocket every time, and every time he's just throwing a pass, it's uncatchable.
Darnold's numbers in the red zone, I believe, and I'm looking for it. I got it somewhere on my sheet, but I believe it was 2 of 9 for 6 yards in the red zone. I mean, that is elite red zone defense. How many times in the red zone where you're sitting in the, it was 2 of 11, sorry, 2 of 11 for 6 yards in the red zone.
That's Amik Robertson doing his job. That's, you know, the rest of the secondary, Brian Branch doing his job. You know, it was quiet. Kirby Joseph was quiet in the game. Didn't matter. You know, because the guy's always lurking. They just had this great game plan. You know, occasionally they need to double Justin Jefferson, and they would, and they just shut him down. Amik Robertson was shutting him down all game long. They had guys that had to come into the game in emergency duty, like Vildor, early in the second half when Arnold got hurt, and they all picked up the slack. Alex Anzalone had himself a game.
Yep.
Alex Anzalone, I know for me personally, I wasn't expecting a ton because his first game back, he's even supposed to play. Like, they weren't sure if he was going to play because his arm healed enough. He's not sure about it. And then he makes this first tackle, and you're like, oh, well, that's what they've kind of missed. And he's matched up on TJ Hockenson all game long. You know, and Hock had a couple of receptions in the game. Literally a couple of receptions.
But not money receptions.
No.
Like they went to him on third down a bunch and it didn't convert.
He had two catches for 9 yards and he was targeted 8 times. Sam Darnold hooked up with Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson a combined 5 times on 17 targets. 17 targets, and they had 5 completions. And I don't know if any pass defender was bigger than the one that Anzalone had late on a pass to TJ Hockenson on a, what was a fourth down conversion or third down and long, and he just swats it away. Nope, not up in here. Great job by Anzalone. 7 tackles in the game. Had a pass defended. He hit the quarterback and was the unquestioned leader on that defense. They announced him last before the game, and that crowd went sick for Alex Anzalone. Just to see him come back and gut it out, which again is the total personification of what this team is about. The grit that this team has, the culture change from this team. It's guys like Alex Anzalone who came here 4 years ago and bought into it hook, line, and sinker from moment one. And now they're reaping the benefits of it by having the number one seed in the NFC.
They showed that on social media, Gator, the his introduction, and the place was going berserk. And I thought, I was like you. I thought, all right, they're going to ease him into this. He missed one defensive snap. He played every defensive snap but one.
That's easing him into it.
Yeah. Yeah, they've just gone full throttle. He would have played every one. You're right, Doug. Really? And then Hockens, kind of a complainer. Am I wrong? Like, I felt like he was complaining a lot last night.
I was cracking up.
Right? And then
the one play where he was all over Hockenson.
Yes.
And then he's like, what?
And then you mentioned Kirby Joseph lurking. I think the play where Darnold kind of threw it a little high, but I think Hockenson short-armed it because he was worried about Kirby Joseph. Kirby Joseph, over the middle, you got to worry about him. And so I think players know this. Hockenson definitely knows this. And I think he kind of short-armed it. And, yeah, they were off target all night, and he wasn't going to go for it either.
Now, and knocking on wood here, that the Lions have, like, 3 healthy safeties that are all known for being hard-hitting safeties, like now that Melifonwu is back, I love it. There's a 3 playmakers back there waiting to get their opportunities, and that helps to make up for, you know, the continuing attrition they have with the cornerbacks, is that these guys can step in and do their job and help out.
248-539-9797. Let's get back to your phone calls. George is in Bloomfield and next. Hi, George.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Great.
Hey, I just want to add, you know, we as Lions fans, I mean, we got to really look at this. And, man, after I looked at that game yesterday, I want to ask both of y'all, and let's just be optimistic here. It's no Aaron Glenn and the offensive coordinator. It's like it was good and bittersweet because that game catapulted both of them, that it will be a miracle to have both of them, or one of them, come back. I think they're 100%, they're gone. They're going to be offered so much money. So we as Lions fans got to take this as much as we can. We don't know what we're going to get next year. Hopefully with Dan Campbell, he's going to get the best 2 people to replace them. But that's just what got me yesterday. I was happy, and then I was bittersweet because them 2 guys are gone. They're going to be offered so much money. You know what I'm saying? What do y'all feel about that?
Well, I mean, the stuff's already come out today. The Jets have put in a request to interview Aaron Glenn. The Patriots have put in a request to interview Ben Johnson. The Bears have put in this is all Tom Pelissero reporting. The Bears are putting a request to interview both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to I mean, it's a great problem to have. Hopefully, they can't take those jobs over until late February.
I said to Stoney last night, he was sitting next to me up on the press box last night, at some point during the game, maybe halfway through it, I said, if you're a team that's looking for a head coach, which defensive coordinator would you rather have coaching your team, Aaron Glenn or Brian Flores? And we both like Brian Flores a lot, you know. And Stoney was like, well, you know, he's got more of a track record, so I'd probably lean towards Brian Flores. I didn't ask Stoney to reevaluate that after the game, but after the game, now it's all said and done. I mean, it comes down to those two. I'd want to hire Aaron Glenn, and I think Aaron Glenn has done this season, I think he's the one that might be harder to hang on to. Ben Johnson, I think, is going to be looking for the perfect situation for Ben Johnson. Aaron Glenn is going to get a lot of love from places where he played with the Jets. He coached before in New Orleans. Both places are looking for those head coaching positions. He's going to get one of those.
And the other thing that I think he has, and just listening to him and listening to his press conferences every week and hearing when he talks about him with players and what players say about him, I think he's got that one thing that really can make you a successful head coach. And I mean, really, in this day and age, I think he relates to players. And I think the number one skill I'd be looking for, you have to know your football, obviously, but the leader of men stuff, to get the guy that's making $17 million and the guy that's making $560,000 to both buy into your message and play their role to the best of their ability, I think is one of the most difficult skill sets to be able to have and one of the most valuable skill sets to have to be a coach in the NFL.
I think I agree with you 100%, and he does another thing very well. That is, he can dress you down, but he'll build you back up. Mm-hmm. He doesn't leave you down like that. He builds you back up 100%.
Those are great leaders. There is somebody I'm very happy for, and I want to point it out because I've been harsh on this guy. We'll get to that today at 11:02. Huge win for the Lions, division champs, number one seed in the NFC. They get the bye. They sit back and wait. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.